Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and our phone lines are open right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. This is day 4 of our focus on the book of Revelation, and this is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions about the book of Revelation, or if you have a special personal issue that you'd like to talk about, we'll call right now, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Well, we're already into day 4 of our live series on the Revelation, and here to keep it going, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We dive into chapter 3 of Revelation today. It's a continuation of the message to the seven churches in Asia Minor. In this particular chapter, the messages go out to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And there's some interesting words and information here that really tie us right back to the gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we mentioned yesterday, when he talks to the churches, Jesus gives some revelation concerning himself. Then he talks about the problems that are happening in the church, and then he gives the solution, and then he gives a call to repentance, and then even gives some blessings to those who do. So the message to Sardis, this could be a message that many would resonate with, because it's a message to those who look successful, but in reality they're dead on the inside. There's lots and lots and lots of folks and lots of churches that really look successful, but they're dead as doornails. And the message has come to life, wake up. And that's what he was saying to this particular church at Sardis. He says, for those who do, they will walk with the Lord and be clothed in white. They will be victorious. Their names will never be erased from the book of life. What assurance that is. And that Jesus will announce them before his fathers and the angels that they belong to him. Then to Philadelphia, this was a wonderful church. I mean, they were hanging on. They were faithful, but they were weak as far as their thinking was concerned. They were unnoticed. They were insignificant to the world, and they were struggling with what to do. And Jesus comes and says, hey, I hold the keys. All authority has been given to me. Cling to me. There's going to be a day when the world will notice you. They will recognize that you truly are the ones that are loved by God. And he says to hold on, and he gives this impressive list of things to hold on to and promises that are going to come true of them. And the same is true of us. We go through trials and tribulations. We go through times where we think the world doesn't take notice. But God always takes notice. He always remembers, and he always encourages us to persevere. And then the final message in this particular chapter is to Laodicea. And it's interesting, that city had a water problem. And it was the water smelled atrocious. It was lukewarm and tasted awful. If you ever put any in your mouth, you'd just want to spit it right out. And that's what God thought about this particular church. They were just lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. And Jesus was saying, it's time to get on the move. Get off the fence and go in one direction or the other. And he says, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you will come, if you will open, then you will experience friendship with Jesus Christ and sit with him victoriously on his throne. So that offer of life is available to all.
Yeah.
But with Jesus, there is no neutrality. You're either for him or against him. And that's what Jesus was saying to this particular group. Move in one direction or the other.
Yeah.
And the encouragement was to move toward Jesus, to open that door and allow him to come in.
Walk in the basic gospel.
Yes, indeed. And that's what this message really is a call for the church to stick to the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, a couple of folks on the line, Bob, but we still have plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question concerning the book of Revelation, or if there's something pressing you need to talk about, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Harrison, New Jersey, and talk with Kenneth, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kenneth.
Grace and peace. God bless. How are you?
Doing well. Love that salutation.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You.
I appreciate it. I guess it's a two-part question, and you know, because as Scripture says, as men, we're supposed to pass over our families first, and I do a men's fellowship at my house twice a month, and I just want to make sure I'm not misleading anyone. And the first question is based on Exodus, my apologies, Moses. And I was trying to, you know, give it to the fellas and apply it to the current times that we live in, you know, such harsh times as if in relations to Pharaoh and Egypt, how he treated the Israelites, and how we're enduring such hardships and trying times now. And from my perspective, and I may be wrong, I feel like someone needs to step up and be a Moses and lead and be an example to lead us out of bondage.
Well, Kenneth, you know, I like the direction you're taking with this. You know, Moses was raised up by God for a specific task. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true of each and every one of us. There's an assignment that God has for us, and he wants us to step into that assignment and trust him to carry it out through us. So I like where you're going there. It's interesting too, when Jesus looks back on the life of Moses, he said this about Moses, that he wrote about me. So Moses ultimately was pointing people to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So I think we do need men and women who will step up and point the way to Jesus Christ so that others can experience life, they can experience initial salvation, but they can also experience that life in abundance as they learn to abide and trust in him. I think that's what God has called all of us to participate in. We don't need just a single Moses. We need a bunch of folks that will stand up,
exactly,
stand up and point the finger to Jesus, to point others to Jesus Christ.
And it's like we live in a world that has become unashamed of the gospel. You know, Romans 1:16, I'm never ashamed. And the second part is what you guys are elaborating on in Revelations. But it also says in 1 Timothy, when Paul is telling Timothy how to go about building a church, not to cater it to the culture that he was living in amongst that time. And I feel in the churches that I've visited, they're doing just that. They're catering to society. They're catering to the cultures that are around them.
Well, we're trying to make the message more palatable to our culture, and we're trying to match it up with what the culture. So we're using a lot of the same language. We're just, you know, we're trying to fit in basically instead of trying to get the culture to fit in with us. And that's a big difference. So we're a strange people. We're foreigners. We're aliens. That's how the Bible describes us. We don't like to be that. We don't like to be, you know, ostracized and said, hey, look at those folks. They're really weird. They're really strange. They're really different. But we are, because we believe in Christ, because we've been made alive in him, because we bear the marks of faith, hope, and love in our day-to-day experience. So we don't need to be ashamed of that. We need to live out who we are in Christ. And that's going to look so different to the world, but it can look very appealing to the world because there's a reality there that they're missing. And so I don't think we have to be afraid of who we are. And I think if we will just recognize that God has enabled us to be ministers of the new covenant, ministers of reconciliation, we'll see incredible things happen in our day-to-day experience.
Absolutely.
Well, Kenneth, great question today. Sure appreciate it.
I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the answer as well.
Well, you're welcome. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future.
No problem.
You hang on, Kenneth.
Bob, we'll remind our listeners that to aid your study of Revelation and support Basic Gospel at the same time for a gift of any amount, you'll also receive a gift called Our Guaranteed Future, a little booklet. And for your generous gift of $50 or more, you'll receive both the booklet and our CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. Just visit basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage there. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 to make the donation of your choice.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Long Island, New York, and talk to Dominique listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Dominique.
Hi. This is the first time I heard your program, and it started off, if I have it correct, you said Jesus offers himself up as a sacrifice. Now, that to me, that sounds like a suicide, and I'm sure that's not the correct interpretation, that it should sound like a suicide, but it certainly does.
Well, it wasn't a suicide. That was just a willingness to take upon himself the sins of the world so that we could experience salvation. I mean, there was a purpose to his death, and that was to take away our sins once and for all and to make the way open for us into God's presence.
Well, wouldn't that also be Old Testament belief of sacrificing the lamb? I mean, actually, it doesn't convert to Christianity, in my opinion, because Christianity would be the Beatitudes, would be the living. It wouldn't be a belief in death, because a belief in death would violate the First Commandment. This sounds like a contradiction to a sort.
Well, actually, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the sacrificial system that was a part of the Mosaic Covenant. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, but the blood of Jesus took away sin once and for all. But the story isn't about death. The story is about resurrection. So when we come to Christ by faith, we are placed into his death, we're placed into his burial, and we're also raised to walk in the newness of life. Christianity isn't a self-improvement program. It's about new life altogether in Jesus Christ. So the whole story is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which the Old Testament prophesied about. That was the story from start to finish.
I understand that Jesus was sacrificed, but from my understanding of the Bible, and I've studied it 40 years, Christ has never been able to be sacrificed. So you're talking about a body, but not the spirit. This is what I'm trying to say.
It's not the spirit. It's the body. The book of Hebrews, really delineates that right. Rather well, it says a body was prepared for him that he inhabited, and that body became the sin offering.
What passage was that? You know the passage?
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 8.
10, 5 through 8. Well, I'm going to review it again because it seems a little bewildering here, because I see the First Commandment as being contrary to death or even the thought of it.
Well,
because
Dominique, there's no...
God is always alive, you know?
Yeah.
God is always alive,
right.
Is the way I see it. And Christ is alive.
Yeah, and that gets back, Dominique, to the reality of Jesus, that he was both fully God and fully man. When he became incarnate, he inhabited this body. He put aside, you know, the prerogatives of deity. He lived in dependence upon his Father. He learned obedience, even to the point of death. And so the human Jesus offered his body as the sacrifice. As Peter said, he was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Well, good question, Dominique. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Ewing in Canada, listening to us on CHRB. Hi, Ewing.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
And to you as well.
And how are you today?
Well, just doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Wonderful. I got a question, and I know you're speaking on the book of Revelation, But I just wanted to ask a question from Matthew chapter 24, verse 5.
Okay.
It says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." With so many denominations and everybody coming in Christ's name, how do I know?
Well, what it's saying there, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." Certainly, back in that day, the people of Israel were looking for the Messiah. They were hoping that he would come. And so many, actually, during that day, would show up on the scene, and they would claim to be the Messiah. And so he's saying, watch out for that. Watch out for those deceptive folks who are trying to claim something about themselves that is not true. With Jesus Christ, he made those claims to be the Messiah, but he proved them to be true through the miracles that he performed and the fact that he died, suffered according to scriptures, and then was raised on the third day. That is proof of his identity. So if somebody else comes and says they're the Christ, you know it's wrong. You know that that's not the case.
That's not my understanding of the scripture. I understand that people are coming in Christ's name, because if I come in my name, nobody's going to listen to me. But if I come in Christ's name, from a Christian standpoint, people are going to listen. So they're coming in Christ's name to me, presenting Christ. They're not saying that I am Christ. They're presenting Christ.
Well, I'll read the passage. "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." So that's there are actually people on the scene today who are claiming to be Christ today.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that and say, well, they're trying to deceive you. If somebody's claiming I am the Christ, they're trying to deceive you.
I understand that, but for somebody who come in Christ's name, for me as a Christian, definitely I'm going to turn away from that person, because I know that Scripture don't back that up in the regards for somebody claiming to be Christ, because he didn't come back yet. He says, until heaven and earth pass,
right,
his word won't pass, and so basically he's not here yet.
No, he hasn't returned. So anybody that is speaking truth about Jesus is going to be pointing people to his death, burial, and resurrection, and to the new life that is available to them through faith in Christ.
I am trying to see if I can find a passage, and I think it is also in Luke. Just once again. Okay, it's I think it's in John, but I can't find it right now. I should have my scriptures down, because it talked about 10 seconds. I might have to call you back on this.
Okay, why don't you do that?
Okay, here we go. And it says, "And he said unto him, if he hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead."
Yeah, Moses and the prophets talked about Jesus. That's what I was saying earlier, that their testimony, what they were inspired to write down, were really words about Jesus. They were telling the story of Jesus Christ. So if those who were steeped in the law were rejecting what Moses and the prophets were writing about, even if somebody came back from the dead to claim that he was the one, they wouldn't believe him.
I'm sorry, sir. Can you help me with that? What does it mean by the law? Because
the first five books of the New Testament, the Mosaic Covenant as well. So that would represent the law. Moses would be the person who represented that. And then there are the prophets. That constitutes the entire Old Testament, along with the writings, the wisdom books. And all of those together tell the story of Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene, fulfills the Old Testament. He carries out the mission. He dies, he's buried, he's raised from the dead. And so all of those speak in unison about Jesus himself. And so does that make sense?
Okay, just hang on again. For Matthew chapter...
We need to go on. We've got a bunch of other people waiting, okay?
Quick seconds. In John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them he think he have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. What were we talking about? Was it the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Well, at that time, it had to be the Old Testament.
So we're looking at scriptures that's both Old and New Testament. Would that be so?
All of it bears witness to Jesus. That's what I just said. Okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Well, interesting conversation, isn't it?
A couple of them in a row there.
Yeah, absolutely. like I said, and that's why I want to get back to this study in Revelation just for a few minutes and kind of tie up some loose ends. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, we see this story starting to unfold right in the garden. We see information about this seed that was to come, and we know that that seed was in reference to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so at the end, we see Jesus in all of his glory. So the story has come to kind of a final chapter as far as we are concerned. But from start to finish, it is a story of Jesus, and Revelation really magnifies Jesus for us in a wonderful, wonderful way. When Jesus talks to the churches, he gives information to the churches about himself. And in light of who he is and what he's accomplished, he gives other information. Here's what you need to do in response to this. Here's what faith in me looks like. And so it's a story of Jesus Christ from start to finish. Yeah. And we need to recognize that. And whenever we have problems, whenever we're going through situations in life, Jesus would come to us and he would reveal something about himself to us. And he would say, the answer is found in me. You may think it's out in the world. You may think it's in money. You may think it's in relationships. You may think it's in success. You may think it's in all of those things. But what you're looking for is found in me, in Jesus Christ, the one who was dead, who is now alive, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the one who was, who is yet to come, the one who holds the keys, the one who has authority and who is sovereign over everything. All is bound up in him. And when we worship him, abide in him, our hearts are fully satisfied.
Yeah.
That's the answer. That is the solution.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's a good way to put a wrap on this particular week and the end of day four of our Revelation study, Bob. And we want to remind our listeners, of course, that Basic Gospel is here only because of your ongoing support. That's the way we want to close this broadcast, with that reminder. Your help is absolutely vital. And to thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, you're going to receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But something special for you, for your generous gift of $50 or more, you're going to get not only the booklet, but you'll also receive the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. It's a great offer, friends. We hope you'll take advantage of it. A great way to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time get real clarity on the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount. That booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828. Do that before 5 o'clock Central Time today, because we're going to close the switchboard at 5 o'clock today. Or visit us online over the weekend at basicgospel.net. As a matter of fact, you could do that right now. But again, that's 1-800-727-2828, or our website at basicgospel.net. While you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list if you haven't done so already. You'll receive the day-by-day preview, the synopsis of each day's look at the Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net. You'll be instantly added and ready for that next exciting study again when we're back on Monday. While you're online, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Bob Christopher, a few seconds for you to add your underlining to the need for financial support.
Well, the need is critical. We have listeners around the country, around the world, who are struggling, and they need to be connected to the love of Jesus Christ. A gift to Basic Gospel will help that happen. And we certainly need financial support right now to bridge the gap that we have between revenue and expenses, and we hope many people will stand with us.
See you on Monday. Bye-bye.